This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hey, sports fans, Christmas is come and gone and the Super Bowl is quickly approaching. We've seen what our teams are capable of this year, and now it's time to get those last bets in before the big Super Bowl. Will the Ravens be able to get it done? Will Brady and the Patriots get themselves another ring? I bet you have a feeling. Head over to mybookie.ag and make your predictions a reality. MyBookie is one of the most trusted in the industry. If you're looking for a sports book to make your bets for the bowl games, MyBookie is where you want to go. Football not your thing? No worries. MyBookie's got it all. From NBA to NHL to Premier League, they have the fastest payouts, best promotions, and very helpful 24/7 customer service. You can even pool your bets together for bigger payout. Let's say you have a couple big favorites this week. Parlay those wagers. You can bet multiple games together. And if they come through, you win big. MyBookie has more lines, better odds for the player than any other sports book out there. If you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. Which means if you deposit $200, you'll get an extra $100 in free play money for free. All you have to do is use a promo code THPN to activate the offer. Once again, that promo code is THPN to get extra cash from MyBookie. Bet, win, get paid.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Well, Oilers, you got everything you wanted tonight, and you still lost. 2 points for the Flames, on to Saturday. Oh, Flames fans, it was a good night. It's time for Flames Unfiltered, episode 36, recorded on January 29th. 2020, a late Wednesday night edition. Had to wait till after the Battle of Alberta. Wow, what a game, huh? I am the host of the show, Brad Berube, and it is so nice to have Flames hockey back. Man, you know, if there was only one bright spot of the break, it was that, you know, your nights were a little less stressful. You didn't have to worry about the 2 points on a nightly basis. But boy, it was good to have it back last night as Calgary took on St. Louis. And was that not the most completely forgotten game you've ever seen? Completely overshadowed by Wednesday night's Battle of Alberta. But Tuesday night's game against St. Louis was a pretty good game. 1 point for the Flames. Probably should have had two since they had a lead twice in the game and lost that. But, you know, I thought it was not too bad. To get a point when, I mean, it was very evident that Talbot was not on his game. And to get a point out of that against the Stanley Cup champions, I wasn't too upset when I went to bed last night. I didn't think it was too bad of an outing. Tonight, though, I couldn't wait all day today. I just couldn't wait. And I'm still on cloud nine right now, and I'm just still amped up after that game. And it was a flat-out wild and crazy Battle of Alberta game. Things didn't get crazy out of control. But this game had it all. It had fights, hits, goals, overtime. God, we even had a shootout. I hate shootouts, don't you? And I'll tell you one thing, Flames fans and, hell, hockey fans, this feud must continue. The games are just way too damn good to not have this keep going. On today's show, jam-packed show. Wow, we're going to be a busy one. First, we're going to recap a little bit of the Blues in Calgary, and then we're going to talk about the Flames-Edmonton Oilers game tonight, just briefly. Go into an interview with my buddy Tom Franklin from Blue Notes Hockey Podcast, which you can listen to on the Hockey Podcast Network. We talk a little bit about Tuesday night's Blues-Flames game, and talk a little bit about the All-Star game in St. Louis. Then it's time to recap the third edition of the Battle of Alberta. Roll on to some Flames news. Talk about Monahan, Robinson. Take a quick trip around the National Hockey League with some league news. And then we got a Facebook poll tonight, which is a good one. Really good one. And then we'll preview that round four of Battle of Alberta. Calgary. In Calgary, Saturday night, the Edmonton Oilers come to town.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
Hey, make sure you check out the Hockey Podcast Network, which Flames Unfiltered is super proud to be part of. They have a great podcast out from former National Hockey League player Terry Ryan. You've heard him on Spittin' Chicklets. The guy is flat out funny. No other way to put it, flat out funny. Make sure you check out his podcast called Tales of TR, a Hockey Podcast. You can check that out on the Hockey Podcast Network. All right, Flames fans, two games to recap as we're finally back to hockey action. I can't even talk straight tonight, man. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Bit my tongue, though, yesterday, and that's all swollen up now. I can't talk or eat or anything. It sucks. Tuesday night, St. Louis Blues defending Stanley Cup champions come into Calgary. Good hockey game. An evenly played game. Talbot struggled mightily. Probably should have won this game. We had a lead twice, and we should have lost it because we had to get lucky and get a goal called back on an offsides. We'll take it. First game for Buddy Robinson, and I thought he was really good. Played with Monahan and Gaudreau in the third period, and his stick work defensively is really, really good. I noticed it two or three times in, again, the Blues game that Robinson was able to get back and lift a stick just at a critical moment. Let's quickly roll through that game. Alexander Steen got on the board right away. 5:45 into the first, his fifth of the year. Matthew Tkachuk followed it up on the power play. 1-1, his 16th. Then Sean Monahan on the power play. That's two power play goals in a row. Flames are up 2-0. David Perron, a Flames killer. This guy is. Averages a point a game against the Flames in the last few years. The guy's amazing. He gets his 22nd late in the first. Then with just 35 seconds ago in the first period, Jaden Schwartz gets his 17th on the power play after 1-3-2 St. Louis. Calgary strong in the second period. Monahan gets his 16th, second of the game, this one on the power play too. A Flames power play that goes 3-for-4 on the night, 75%. Mark Jankowski scores in back-to-back games, gets his second of the year. Flames have a lead. Then in the third period, Zach Sanford scores 51 seconds in, actually, so right away into that period. They get two goals right to start period, St. Louis does, and it's 4-4. No goals in overtime. Sean Monahan misses on his shot. David Perron scores on his. Matthew Tkachuk misses on his. Ryan O'Reilly scores on his. 5-4 loss in a shootout. Flames salvage 1 point. Then the next night, tonight, Wednesday night, Calgary wins 4-3 over Edmonton in the shootout. We're going to break this whole game down in segment two of the podcast tonight. It was a dandy, and I will break it down later on in the show.
Inside Edge Hockey News, bringing you inside the game.
All right, Flames fans. His second time on the show this year, my buddy from Blue Notes Podcast, Tom Franklin, joins the show to talk a little bit of St. Louis Blues, Calgary Flames on a Tuesday night. Tom Franklin joins me, and we are going to talk a little recap on the Blues-Flames game that just ended here on a late Tuesday evening. Good game, little crossover conversation, and it'll just be a little back and forth, having a little fun talking some Blues-Flames.
Yeah, absolutely, and it was a wonderful game Tuesday night. I mean, for the casuals, I mean, definitely a fun game. For fans of good defensive, you know, 2-1, you know, nail-biting hockey, not the game for you. But if you're a fan of watching special teams at work, Tuesday night's game was the game to watch.
That was a very entertaining game, I thought, Tom. How about you?
You know, it was very entertaining for me, and it's especially entertaining for me because, you know, I live in the central time zone here in St. Louis, so the puck didn't drop until 8 o'clock my time. And, you know, sometimes with those late, you know, mountain or Pacific, you know, time zone games, I fade and I just, you know, by the time the third period's, you know, like the puck's dropping on the third period, I'm ready to tap out and, you know, go to bed because I get to go to work early in the morning. But this was a game that actually held my interest from start to finish. It was a seesaw battle against two teams that look like they are competing for the top of their respective divisions.
And I thought the intensity level was pretty good, seeing as coming off of an all-star break, and the Flames had been off for 9 days. You just never know what you're going to get coming off a break like that.
No, you really don't. And I was a little concerned with the Blues coming off of the break because just the night before in Vancouver, they lost 3-1, and they looked kind of just there. I mean, it looked like that there was definitely a bit of a malaise coming from the All-Star game. Now, granted, up until that point, that was actually their third straight loss overall. And, you know, you could say that, you know, they were still picking up on their bad form from before. But tonight it looked like, you know, they looked ready to go. I think they've shaken off whatever cobwebs from the All-Star break. I mean, what was your assessment of how Calgary did, you know, after, I mean, this was your first game back from the All-Star break?
I didn't think too bad considering it was a 9-day break. Last year when Calgary came back from the CBA / All-Star break, they were honestly atrocious. And so coming back, I was really scared to see how tonight was going to go, to be honest with you. And overall assessment, I thought pretty darn good. Rookie Buddy Robinson, is he really a rookie? He's 26, I believe, but had his first NHL game for the Flames tonight. And he kind of was a spark plug out there and had a pretty good night defensively and actually offensively too. So that kind of got things rolling. I thought Talbot struggled horribly, actually. I thought he was searching for the puck all night long. But, you know, Monahan and Gaudreau looked better than they have really all year. So that was a definite bright spot.
Yeah, and one bright spot for Blues fans, and this was something that we highlighted, you know, especially during All-Star Week, was Matthew Tkachuk getting on the board for the Flames tonight. And, you know, Matthew was a guy that, you know, when he was in St. Louis last week, you know, getting to play alongside his brother Brady, you know, in the hometown that he grew up in the same arena that his father played well at for over a decade. It was such, you could tell he was loving the All-Star game proceedings, and it just, you know, the fact that he was there, the fact that he looked, in my opinion, he looked really good that whole week between the skills competition and the game itself, and now he's getting on the board here tonight. I mean, Matthew Tkachuk seems to be all ready to take that step into superstardom.
You know, I hope so. He definitely has been great for the Flames this year. He leads them in points, but he has had little bouts of inconsistency this year. When he's, as crazy as this sounds, when he's engaged like he was in the Edmonton game, maybe not to that level, but when he's engaged, he's so much of a better player. And he just has games once in a while where you're just like, oh, just get engaged. Tonight I thought he had a good game. His goal was a little bit comical, I guess. And he described it after the first intermission as a muffin, and it was. It fluffed off his stick and looked like it went off the back of one of the defensemen for the Blues and into the net. But, you know, you got to get puck luck like that once in a while to win some hockey games. And thus far, the Flames this season really haven't had a tremendous amount of puck luck.
Yeah, I mean, it just felt like one of those games for Binnington. You know, we were talking a little bit about the goaltending play before we started recording. I mean, Binnington still was able to stop 27 out of 31, which, you know, isn't bad. And I don't think he had a bad night per se, but kind of like you said, with that Tkachuk goal, it just seemed like fate was going against him tonight. David Perron getting his 22nd of the year, you know, continuing his great play, but kind of again to talking about fate and just bad luck. I mean, he could have had a second goal in the third period, and, you know, I mean, he did, but he ended up getting it called back on an offside. And that's something that kind of drives me crazy about the Blues, is that they've had quite a few goals taken back because of, you know, that offside camera. And I don't know what the stats are around the league as far as how many goals have been taken away, you know, by offsides from, you know, each team. But I have to think the Blues are up there.
Yeah, that would be an interesting stat. I do know that the Flames on challenges have not been very good this year. So to actually have a challenge go our way was really a blessing, because that was a stinker of a goal that Talbot let in, and one that pretty much saved the day for Calgary, honestly, because I got a feeling that goal counts. It's game over. Perron has been just a Flames killer as of late. I believe he's averaging a point and a half in his last 17 times he's played against the Flames. And, you know, the Blues are a scary team, and anytime you see them on the schedule, and I know not just obviously because they're a top two or three team in the league, but they're a hardworking team, and it's definitely makes them difficult. They kind of bring everything at you, whether it's, you know, goal scoring, good goaltending, and they have a physical play. They're a physical team to play against. Tonight, hits were 19-18. And I thought tonight was actually one of Calgary's more physical games. So, interesting to see, you know, I mean, that's why St. Louis was so successful last year.
Yeah, it was, and it's, you know, Sammy Blais, seeing him back in the lineup after, you know, missing, I think, over, you know, 25 games, you know, was refreshing to see. I mean, you hate to see it at the expense of an Oscar Sundquist, who probably would have added about three or four hits to the Blues total tonight had he been in the lineup. By the way, getting back to Perron, I don't know if it was just me, but I thought that when he had the puck, especially like in the shootout, I heard some boos coming from the Calgary crowd, like, you know, a little bit more than like other players. Is there like a back history with him and his time in Edmonton, or was it just me?
I can't think of anything. I really can't. That would warrant that, other than he's been so damn good that the fans are actually catching on to that, man, this guy just, every time he gets the puck, something happens. And I can't think of a history thing, whether it is at all. I really can't think of anything. So that's an interesting, I noticed it a little bit, I guess, but I didn't even put two and two together that it was that.
I couldn't think of anything in particular either, but I also wanted to bring that up just to kind of segue into this kind of beef. Well, I mean, of course, there's always been a beef between Calgary and Edmonton, but this whole thing between Tkachuk and Cassian, and, you know, I had a chance to ask your goaltender, David Rittich, about that at the All-Star game. And, you know, his kind of take on that was, well, ask the Edmonton fans, you know, where that stands right now. And, you know, if Blues fans, if you want to listen to Flames Unfiltered, the past episode, episode 35, you had quite the spirited conversation with the boys from Oil Country. So it sounds like there's still some raw feelings there, huh?
Oh, John and Kyle are good guys, and we like to spar and go back. That's what rivalries in hockey are about. But, yeah,
absolutely.
It was a good episode. And, you know, the whole Tkachuk-Cassian thing just really brought – you know, it was coming back just because both teams are somewhat relevant now and doing good. I guess both teams are playoff teams, so – that last game where it got a little bit wild and crazy just sparked the interest of both hockey markets. But you know what? It didn't just spark both. I think a lot of hockey fans circled tomorrow on the calendar just because any hockey fan loves that grit and grind and the rivalry and the talk and the silliness. But I don't know. If I had to make a prediction, I don't think anything happens tomorrow night.
You don't think so?
I don't. I think that both teams have been talked to. It's the NHL has poured so much water on this to try to cool it down that it would shame on them in a way, because it's got a lot of people talking hockey that don't always talk about hockey. I've had numerous people ask me about this that are mediocre hockey fans, and I don't get it. I mean, I know we don't want a big Brent Curran brawl or anything like that, but I don't think we'd ever get to that anyways. But I'm pumped for the game.
I made my prediction with both Kyle and John that I don't think anything will happen tomorrow night. Cassian, if you listen to his quotes this morning on Edmonton radio, he's backed off and said, well, we got to focus on the 2 points. So I think he's been talked to by his coach, and I don't doubt that Tkachuk's not out there trying to raise some hell tomorrow night, but I think he'll be doing it on more of a toned down method, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. And it's something that Riddick talked about when I had a chance to speak with him during All-Star Week last week, is that I think one of the reasons why that incident's being highlighted as much as it is because the game has changed so much to where you don't see stuff like that much anymore. I mean, I grew up, obviously, in the 90s when, you know, you still had enforcers. I remember the fan rack that they sold outside of the Kiel Center, you know, would always break down, like, you know, the heavyweight fighters, you know, the Brashears and the Ty Domies, and, you know, they would break them down, you know, based on record. But overall, the game was just a lot more physical back then. And nowadays, you just don't see that kind of a thing. I mean, personally, I kind of miss the more physical style a bit. It's one of the things that kind of, you know, roped me into hockey a little bit. I do think there is a middle ground between some of the physical play that we had, you know, back in the day and maybe the softer play that we have now that we could hopefully meet at some point. But I don't know. What do you think about, you know, the toned down physical play of the modern game versus, you know, the way it used to be?
Well, I grew up in the 90s just like you, and I would consider myself pretty much old school on everything. Now, I'm completely against stage fights. I don't like it when guys drop the gloves right at the face-off. Although, I'm not going to lie, if there's a line brawl at the drop of the puck tomorrow night like we saw against Vancouver 5 years ago, I will be jumping up. But I don't know. You know, when I watch a game like that last Edmonton-Calgary game, or, you know, even tonight, I kind of saw a little bit of bad blood kind of coming, but it kind of just went away. But as a fan or as a hockey guy, you get a little bit more excited. You get a little bit more riled up, and that's what sports are about. So I like physical play. I wish there was a little bit more of it in today's game. Not maybe to the point of getting enforcers back into the game, but there's nothing better than, you know, you slash me, I slash you, and we go. I'm totally okay with that.
Well, and not only that, but something I miss is that, say, you know, one of your stars gets run by the other team's goon, you would then send out someone to kind of correct that mistake, if you will. You don't see that anymore. And that's one thing I think hockey is lacking nowadays, is the enforcement amongst the players themselves. No one goes to a game to see the refs, you know, settle everything. No one goes to a game to see, you know, George Parros or Gary Bettman wax poetic about, you know, how clean the game needs to be. You know, the players should settle those issues amongst themselves like they used to. You run my guy, you're going to get a response. And I think that's a reason why Cassian's up in that first line with McDavid, you know, to kind of provide that old protection, kind of like McSorley did with Gretzky back in the day. But, yeah, I feel that's one thing that has been kind of almost coached out of hockey is, you know, sticking up for your teammate when he's been run.
So how do you feel about fighting after a clean check?
After a clean check, I think that's silly. I mean, it's, you know, I understand emotions, you know, play a lot into it. But at the same time, you know, I read Ty Domi's autobiography, you know, a couple months ago. And, you know, even he talks about the code. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a certain code. There's a certain time when you drop the gloves. And, you know, if you know, someone, you know, staples your defenseman, you know, to the boards and, you know, keeps the arms down and it's just a solid body check, you don't drop the gloves in that instance. I mean, that's
I'm with you.
That's some minor league junior hockey, you know, bush league stuff.
Yep.
You know, there's a time and place for everything. I think there is a time when fights are warranted. Like if, you know, like say for instance, just, you know, Tuesday night, if the Blues were down 4-1, let's just say in the second period against Calgary, and Barbashev decides to drop the gloves against someone, he's doing that to get a charge out of his team, to get a rise out of the team. It kind of goes into what you're saying, you know, about that emotional aspect of sports, and that's why we play and that's why we watch. And in that instance, it's okay. But just there's got to be parameters.
Yep,
you know, just with anything, it can't be just all blood sport all the time.
Yep, I'm with you. We agree completely on that one. I want it to be physical, but not Junior B. You know.
Absolutely. By the way, you know, we've talked in the past, and this is going to be your second appearance on Blue Notes, but I think one thing we kind of noted is that, you know, Calgary has always been kind of a dumping ground for Blues goaltenders, because, you know, we gave you guys Turek, we gave you Brian Elliott.
Yeah.
I think there was another one in there somewhere, some Blues failure that you guys, I take it back. It wasn't a failure. It was Grant Fuhrer. Now,
forgot about that one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Grant in his cup of coffee in Calgary. And, of course, you had Kiprusoff in goal for a long time. And, you know, he was kind of the staple of your team. But then after he retired, kind of a little bit in flux between the pipes for you guys, including Brian Elliott. And, you know, I had a chance to talk to David Rittich at the All-Star game, you know, about being one of the 8 goaltenders selected. And how does it feel, you know, as a Flames fan, being able to send a homegrown goaltender like that to an All-Star game, the first since Kipper?
You know, it's pretty special, because I think when I talked about preseason predictions for the Flames, and I talked about things that had to happen for the Flames to have a successful season, the biggest one was solidifying David Rittich as a starter and having Cam Talbot as a quality backup. I think for the most part we've done that. Rittich was lights out actually to start the season, and we would have been in bigger trouble than we already were hadn't it been for Rittich's success between the pipes. He did have a little bit of a lull around the Christmas time where he had a 2-week struggle. But like we just talked about earlier, that's going to happen. Players have those. We just see it more in goaltenders. I think the goaltending in Calgary has probably been, honestly, the one bright spot this year. And David Rittich is a very, very comical guy, and his heart and soul is in every game, and you can see the way he interacts with the players and the funny stuff he does. He's a team player, and he's harder on himself than anybody else is on him, and I wish him all the success, and it was really fun to get to see him showcase his talents at that All-Star game in St. Louis.
And he was one of the more fun guys I had a chance to talk to. I mean, athletes, you know, can vary, obviously, in terms of how glib they are on the mic. I mean, you know, Nico Hischier had a tough time kind of opening up a little bit. But Rittich was very pleasant to talk to, and you can just tell that competitive spirit that he has. And, you know, it kind of, you know, you mentioned, you know, Talbot's, you know, role on the team as well, and it kind of highlights something that I think is becoming more prevalent in hockey nowadays, is the need for 2 quality goaltenders, because the days of Marty Brodeur starting 70-plus or Grant Fuhrer starting 79 games in a season, those days are gone and done. It's just you can't have that anymore. And I look at the Pacific Division here, and like the Canucks have a good pairing with Markstrom and Demko. You have your Flames have Rittich and Talbot. The Coyotes have, you know, Ranta and Kemper. It seems to me like you can't succeed unless you can trust your backup. And it's something that is, I think, feeding into the Blues' success this year, because Jake Allen has finally reemerged from, you know, his, you know, yips that he had in the, you know, past couple years, into a solid backup goaltender. And, you know, I feel like if the Flames are going to, you know, come out of this, you know, muck in the Pacific, it might be because of that goaltending tandem.
I couldn't agree more. I think you got to have a backup that's going to get you 10 to 14 wins, or well, 10 wins, and you know, get you, I don't know, 25 starts probably. You got to get maybe 10 to 15 wins out of your backup, and
yeah,
I think that 5 years from now, it is going to be 1A, 1B for almost every single team, because it's just the where it's going. And there is enough good goaltenders out there to have that. And I really think, as much as St. Louis has been successful in all aspects of their team this year, you're right. The Jake Allen, him being a solid backup, is critical to your guys' success, especially down the stretch here. You don't want to run your starter too hard. Yeah. And St. Louis can throw out Allen now with confidence. And that's something you didn't have last year.
No, definitely not. And Binnington, even, you know, we're still figuring out a little bit just who Binnington is as a goaltender. I mean, yes, he's an all-star Stanley Cup winner for sure. But, I mean, he has had one full calendar year as the guy in net for the Blues. And that means we haven't really seen Binnington go from the start of a season to the finish of the season and seeing exactly what his endurance level is. He got tested early this season because I don't think the Blues fully trusted Jake Allen, you know, right off the bat. And when Allen did emerge, you had situations where Binnington actually sat during practices. I mean, he didn't suit up. He just rested. And it was a situation where Berube said, hey, he needed a breather. He needed a rest. So, yeah, it just kind of goes back to what I was saying. You know, the days of goaltenders starting 70-plus is done. And, you know, you need those quality goaltenders for sure.
As we wrap here, Tom, talk a little bit about that all-star experience for you. And, again, we thank you for the audio from episode 35 on Flames Unfiltered. That came from KMOX and Tom, and we appreciate that. And it's quite an experience getting to go to an all-star game like that. I've had the luxury of going to 4 or 5 NHL award shows and being able to interact and talk with the players. And how was that experience for you?
Well, it was really a first time for me, you know, just at that level. I mean, I've been in post-game scrums, after the game, you know, talking to just Blues players. But to meet some, you know, of the other players around the league, like a David Rittich, it was entertaining to kind of get their perspective on things. You know, especially, you know, it was one thing I learned, you know, on stage, you know, for media day. You know, they set these players up in 8 different podiums. They arrange them by division, and they have about 20 minutes per. So you have to really pick your spots. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the stars like Matthew Tkachuk, well, I mean, Matthew Tkachuk was mobbed because, you know, he's a St. Louis kid. He's a story. And every journalist worth his salt is going to want to have that angle. You know, Matthew Tkachuk returns to St. Louis. But while everyone was over there, you know, you had someone like a Rittich who I actually had probably the most face time with than anyone. Mm-hmm. Just simply because, you know, as you know, his session went on, it didn't seem like he had a lot of traffic around him. So you learn to pick your spots. You learn, you know, just kind of how to maneuver around that stage. You know, it takes a lot of pre-planning. But once you're in there and you're face-to-face with those players, I mean, it's some of the – and I mean this in a good way – some of the, like, mystique, you know, around them, you know, goes away, and you remember that they're still human beings as well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, some of the jitters go away, and it's fun to just have a conversation, you know, with these players. And I know the players were enjoying it as well. I mean, it's not easy to sit there in a podium and take questions, you know, from, you know, multiple angles, but, you know, being able to just sit there, you know, and just kind of get into a conversation, it was a lot of fun. It was a bucket list item for me for sure. My highlight was probably meeting Al MacInnis and having some face-to-face time with him, just because I've always wanted to ask him, you know, just, you know, some hardest shot, you know, questions. And he was one of my favorites growing up. Of course, Al MacInnis, former Calgary Flame.
One of my favorites too, and you know, honestly, one of my favorite moments of the All-Star Weekend was him coming out with the old Wood Sherwood 50-30 and
yes,
firing one 100 miles an hour and
allegedly.
good point.
Yeah, but, it was just fun
to see that take place, and I thought St. Louis did a really good job with the All-Star Game. The All-Star Game, I've made no bones about it, is not one of my favorite events just because. It kind of breaks my heart that players choose not to go or talk about not wanting to go. And just because I think I've always been kind of obviously biased about hockey, and I've always thought of hockey players as different than any other professional athlete, and that they are 20 years behind and they still worry about the kids and they still worry about representing their team and doing that. And it breaks my heart when some of the players choose not to go. And I always think hockey's different than the other sports. And I see signs of it being otherwise when it comes to All-Star time. And I hope that they can keep that event, but I hope they can figure out a way to make sure it is the event it deserves to be.
And it's definitely an event that, for the city that's hosting it, is a lot of fun. And it's one of those things, like, you know, this was the first All-Star game that had come to St. Louis in 32 years. So it's nice to see – it's just nice to feel kind of acknowledged, you know, by the NHL. Granted, in the St. Louis's case, it was a bit different because, you know, the announcement of the All-Star game came right about the time when the team was turning itself around the season prior and then – went on the magical Stanley Cup run. So, you know, for a lot of fans, I think it felt like the culmination of an amazing calendar year, you know, that included the Stanley Cup run and now the All-Star game. But it's definitely one of those games where I'm with you. It's not my favorite event in the world. I got more fun out of the skills competition than the game itself, personally. In fact, I didn't even go to the game. I had some other commitments that night. But it was fun to take part of, and I'm hoping Calgary gets one here maybe after the replacement for the Saddle Dome is constructed.
Yeah, it would be nice to have an event like that. I mean, I think it has the, you know, it's a great event for that community. Just, it's kind of like a Winter Classic. It's a great event for the city that's hosting it. There's so much that can go on, and it's a showcase of your players. And I thought St. Louis did a good job, and I had a few good laughs during the skills competition, and it was definitely a fun event.
What do you think of the Shooting Stars competition where they shot at the targets?
My first response was that's stupid. When I saw it during the event, though, when they had, I loved how they had the players walk up through the crowd. I love that.
Yeah.
That was a good personal touch. That part lasted a little long in my mind. I thought it was okay. I think they should do it again next year, but I think they got to figure out something different where the targets, so not everybody's shooting at
the one.
So, and I think they will do that, and I think they will tweak it.
And not only that, but it's like that one. I mean, they need to also make it so that, you know, players were shooting at that arch, and the puck would go through the front, and that's where you got the 10 points. But then they left the top open, and pucks would go in through the top and into the basket. The crowd would cheer, yay, they got the 10 points. Oh, wait, they didn't, because they didn't do it the way that the NHL wanted them to. That bugged me. You know, I mean, if you don't want, you know, pucks going through the top,
cover it.
Close the damn top.
Yep.
You know, that's simple as that. So I'm kind of with you on that. I mean, it kind of was a head scratcher when I first heard about it. I like the idea in theory, and I think it worked okay for a first year run, but it's something I think needs work.
Were you worried that Brett Hull was going to fall off of it?
I was worried about Brett Hull making up the steps. I worry about him. I mean,
I do too. He's such a great guy, and he was such a hero. And I just,
he's my childhood hero. I mean, he was my idol growing up. He definitely likes to drink a few tall frosty ones, doesn't he?
You know, but it's good that he was back, and I believe Kelly Chase was back, and.
Yep.
Al McInnis, Federico, and you know, that's what it's about, is getting the old alumni back together too, and the fans love to see them as much as they love to see the current stars. So
even Cujo was in town. He did some interviews on media day, and I got his book. It's I haven't read it yet, but I hear it's really good. So didn't he have a cup of coffee in Calgary or no?
No, Edmonton.
That was Edmonton. Okay. I get my Alberta's confused sometimes.
I believe he still lives in Edmonton.
Yeah. I think he's still an Alberta kid. So
yeah.
Another one of those Blues in the 90s that should never have left St. Louis, but
when you look back though, at both Calgary and St. Louis's alumni, boy, there's some good players, and there are some guys.
It's
still
impressive.
It is. It really is impressive, and having the Tkachuks from St. Louis, and
not only that, but like the alumni that the Blues and Flames can share, because
there's a lot of them.
Because the Blues and Flames made a lot of trades in the 80s and 90s.
McInnes, notable names. Hull.
Gilmore. Joey Mullen. Oh my God.
We had a lot of the same players, and it's interesting how that works. And I think we touched on that last time we were on the podcast together.
And some of the players that like the Blues had. I mean, I still, every time I come across the mid 90s and I see that the Blues had Dale Hawerchuk, I'm like, what? And the reason I do that, just because his run in St. Louis was kind of forgettable, and Mike Keenan, again, I could say
we had Keenan nice too.
I don't think Calgary fans think very highly of him either.
No. I think the only team that does is Chicago.
That's about it. Yeah, I mean the guy can't even keep a job in China anymore. So I mean, it's
definitely a different coaching style.
We'll go with different. Different's a nice word.
Yeah. We'll keep it nice tonight.
Yes. Yes. and not dickish like Mike Keenan.
Well, good game tonight. St. Louis does get the 2 points, 5-4. It's always a pleasure talking with you, Tom.
Absolutely.
Hopefully, both teams can get off this All-Star break and get on good runs. And I'd love to tell you I'd like to meet you in the playoffs, but I don't. I'd like to see somehow and not have to play you guys.
Well, Calgary's one of those teams that kind of worries me a bit too, because it always seems Calgary plays pretty well against the Blues. But I'm looking more forward to this home-and-home with Calgary and Edmonton, the next couple games, and seeing who survives.
Well, beat them up for us on Friday night, because we get them again on Saturdays. So we need you guys to take some good tough shots on them. Beat them up pretty good on Friday night for us.
We'll soften them up for you. And if you guys place a bounty on Cassian, I'm sure someone will pick that up.
Everybody's like, well, do you hope Cassian gets knocked out of the game? It's like, no, I kind of like having him on the first line because I don't think he's that good. So we got to get our final shot in on Cassian before.
Six of one, half dozen of the other, I guess.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining me, Tom. Thanks, a great
Brad.
Night, and hopefully both our teams can actually make the playoffs this year. I'm sure the Blues are in, but let's see if the Flames can earn a spot in the dance.
Yeah, I wish you, Flames, the best of luck, but not too much.
NHL news, opinions, and controversy.
Oh, it's time to talk Battle of Alberta. Round 3. What a game. It was so... We've been talking about this since the 11th. So a week and... Oh, shoot, 2 weeks. And the whole break, that's all anybody talked about is, what's going to happen when Calgary and Edmonton meet up again? Is it going to be physical? Is there going to be fights? The league was awfully worried about this one and kind of pisses me off. They stepped into a point that I almost think was a little bit too much to try to defuse this game. No, I didn't want a gong show ridiculous event, but I did want that excitement back. I had friends come up to me that are, I would say, hockey fans, but not your every night watch hockey guys. And they couldn't wait for this game. They just couldn't wait for it. And that tells you that people want drama, they want excitement, and they want craziness. Now, they don't want goon hockey, but they want wild hockey. And that's what this one was pitted to be. Peros was on hand along with the whole Department of Player Safety. They met with the teams, met with some players before the game, and diffused this whole situation down. Cassian was back talking on what he had said earlier on about going after Tkachuk. And then finally tonight at 8 o'clock, we dropped the puck. Lindholm scores right away, his 21st of the year, assists from Lucic and Hamonic at the 101 mark. And this one was just a fluky one. And I'm going to pit this one on Mike Smith. He was ridiculously deep in his net. Like, silly deep in his net. Tkachuk does not get credited with an assist on this one, was right into the play as he's skating back to the bench. Cassian gives him the death stare, and I loved every minute of that. Buddy Robinson comes into the lineup again tonight after a good night last night, and tonight I thought he was also very, very good. Big hits early on in the game. He was a factor again tonight. Later on in the first, McDavid splits Hanifin and Hamonic, has a big, big scoring chance. Riddick makes a big stop. Then the controversial calls. This is when the period got going, man. Midway through the period, this just heated up big time. Monahan gets a shot on Smith after Smith screws up playing the puck. Monahan gets a shot, goes through Smith, onto the line before one of the defenders for Edmonton. I didn't even see who it was able to knock it away, and it was on the line. They looked at it upstairs for like 2 seconds only. I thought initially it went in. After looking at it, I'll agree with the Edmonton people. It did not cross the line. We stay 1-0. Then it gets wild. A few minutes later, Nugent Hopkins hits Monahan on the way to the bench. They exchange a few cross checks and drop the gloves. Nugent Hopkins' third fight, Monahan's first fight ever. And you know what? Well, that both did a good job. It was a pretty good fight. I wouldn't say anybody won it straight up, so pretty good fight. Later on in the period, Hamonic gets a big hit on Neal. Oof. Big, big hit. Then faceoff in the Calgary zone. Tkachuk talking to Cassian before they drop the puck. And I want to side note something here. And all you Edmonton fans need to know this. You saw the highlights of the opening faceoff. Tkachuk was calling for Cassian right away. And Cassian wouldn't do it right away. Which is fine. But then Tkachuk fights Cassian in the end of the first. Yep. Cassian won the fight, but by no means did he pummel him or anything like that. But you know what? What are you going to complain about now, Oilers fans? What are you going to bitch about? You got what you wanted. Tkachuk manned up. You got what you wanted, right? I'll tell you one thing. Two of the top three scorers for the Calgary Flames points this year fought in the first period. I guarantee we won't see that from an Oilers top two of the three scorers. I know we won't. So next time you say that Calgary's a bunch of cowards, maybe you better look at that. You guys are coming after our scorers. We're not going after your scorers. Pretty funny when Cassian was being escorted to the locker room, Ronaldo says he's next. After one, we're 1-1. Second period. Smith takes an early penalty with a shot over the glass. Boy, I don't miss. Do you guys, any of you Flames fans, miss Mike Smith and his playing of the puck antics? As I watched it, and I was just like, damn, I'm glad I don't have to deal with that anymore. That drove me crazy. Then Reeder loses a key faceoff in the defensive zone. Yamamoto bangs home a rebound or tied up. A few minutes later, Tkachuk, Dreisaitl, each get some ticky-tack slashes in. They both go to the penalty box. And I thought, you know, the officials are really trying to calm this one down, which was good. But then later on in the game, they sure let a lot go. Mangiapane scores a quick goal in the slot on a great play from Bennett as he creates a turnover, fires it out front in the slot. Mangiapane scores his first point in the last 12 games, his ninth goal of the year, 2-1 Calgary. Chiasson scores on the power play in a net front scramble. a few minutes later, actually just over a minute later on the power play, Chase on seventh, we're tied 2-2. With 45 seconds to go in the period, Mazapani gets his second of the game, 10th of the night, or 10th of the year. I wish it was 10th of the night. Calgary regains the lead, 3-2. This is going to be a wild one. Assist from Tkachuk on that one. Nice pass. And Mazapani waited out Smith and just waited him out and scores a big goal. We roll on to the third period. Calgary with a one-goal lead. As it's, why am I drawing them like 3-2? Boy, after 3-2. All right, I'm getting this straight. I've been so excited about this game all day, I can't even think straight anymore, can I? Third period, back and forth. Lots of penalties, mostly on the Flames, and I wonder why. Probably because of the hit on Giordano. McDavid was freaking out about it. And they probably got some calls because of that. But I'm not going to complain about the officiating. I thought it was pretty good both ways. I know Edmonton, that's what we're going to hear about all week. For the last 2 weeks, we heard about how Tkachuk turtles. And now this week, we're going to hear about how Giordano was a cheap shot artist as he tried to take on McDavid's knee. No, he wasn't trying to hurt him. Yes, it was an interference. But don't forget about the slash McDavid put on Giordano just right after that play. Or not on Giordano, I believe it was Lindholm. Come on, guys. Edmonton fans, you're better than that. Giordano wasn't trying to take out his knee. It was a hockey play. He went with his hip more than his knee. Caught a little bit of McDavid. Should have been a penalty. They didn't call it. But guess what? You got every call you could ask for after that. Nurse didn't get called when he ran Tkachuk from behind early in the third penalty. In the third, no call on that. On the power play, Draisaitl turns one over, breakaway for Ryan Smith with a save. That was a key point in the game. Robinson takes a late penalty. Benning scores at the 11:49 mark. We're 3-3 on a play that Riddick probably should have had. Chiasson and Riddick get in front of it late in the period. It was funny. Brody and Chiasson were scrumming in front of the net, cross-checking each other. Brody had moved Chiasson out pretty hard, got in pretty close in on Riddick and turned around and Riddick gave him a shot in the face. Chiasson went and stared him down. No, nothing was called. We end 3-3 and head to overtime. Draisaitl gets a breakaway early on in overtime, saved by Riddick. Brody gets a mini breakaway later on, saved by Smith. Back and forth chances. What an overtime. It was great. Two nights in a row, the Flames go to a shootout. How often does that happen, huh? Nugent Hopkins misses on the first shot. Monahan scores on his. McDavid does not score on his. Tkachuk, no goal on his. Boy, would that have been drama if Tkachuk could have scored that. Draisaitl comes in. Riddick gets crazy wild and goes for the poke check. Stops Draisaitl. And you got to love it. Edmonton hit two posts in the shootout. Riddick is there kissing the post while the Flames skater was shooting. And then after he stops Draisaitl, he does the wild and crazy stick flip. And you know what? Edmonton fans are going to be going crazy, crazy over that this week. We're going to hear so much about it. You just know we are.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
All right, Flames fans, a little bit of Flames news. Monahan scores on the power play Tuesday night, his first of two that night. And it was his 400th career point. So a great milestone by Sean Monahan. Buddy Robinson made his first Flames appearance. First pro game since 2016 when he was in Ottawa. That was against St. Louis on Tuesday night. He played alongside his childhood friend Johnny Gaudreau in the third period. And you know what? I don't know if this was coincidence or not, but Robinson wore number 53, the same jersey number that Gaudreau wore in his rookie call-up season. Very, very interesting. Make sure you check out coolhockey.com, your number one source for customized National Hockey League jerseys.
Use promo code THPN and you'll receive 25% off your order. Check out coolhockey.com.
Coolhockey.com. Jerseys online since 99.
Time to talk a little NHL news and notes from around the league. Wild night in the Pacific Division is this Wednesday night. Almost every team in the Pacific played. Not every, but almost every. Vegas was not on tonight, but everybody else was. Vancouver wins tonight. They get past San Jose 5-2. San Jose had a lead early on in this one. And LA loses to Tampa Bay 4-2. This helps Calgary. Anaheim beats Arizona 4-2. Good news, as Calgary has 2 points tonight. As it stands right now, Vancouver in the lead with 62 points. Calgary in second with 60 points. Edmonton in third with 58. Vegas and Arizona tied for fourth and fifth with 57 points. And then out of it, San Jose with 48, Anaheim 45, Los Angeles 41. And now we're getting to the deadline part of the year. 26 days till NHL trade deadline. When do teams determine if they need to buy, stay pat, or sell off some of their assets? It's been leaked that the new franchise in Seattle's nickname will be the Kraken. That is not official. That is leaked. But you know what? I would love that. I think that would be an amazing name. I don't know why. I just right when they were talking about that, I'm like, I'd like it. I'd like that a lot. Time to roll on to the fan question Facebook poll I did this week. My good buddies at Calgary Flames on Facebook. It is a Facebook group called Calgary Flames Fans. Make sure you get onto that. Sign up. Talk great hockey with some great Flames fans. I love communicating on that and getting opinions of true Calgary Flames fans. This week's poll question, is Andrew Mangiapane a true top-line NHL winger? Again, like always, my guys on Facebook come through. 272 votes placed on this. 101 votes, 37% said yes, he is a top-line winger in the National Hockey League. 171 said no, that's 63%. Now, I'm not going to lie, I was in the no category. And I knew as soon as I had this plan for tonight's episode that Mangiapane would go off, and he did, with 2 goals. Don't let that skew your thought process in this. He hadn't scored in 12 previous games. Now, tons of comments on this, tons of input from my listeners. Most of them said he's a second or third line winger, and that's where I fall into that category. Now, lots of people said, yes, he is a true first line winger, and give him some time, he will prove that to us. I hope he does. I don't hate where he's playing at right now, but I think he's a second, third line long term. I really do. I think he has nights. He's an Oilers killer. Man, he's good against Edmonton. But I guess time will tell, but that's kind of where I stand on this one. I kind of stand where a lot of the Flames fans do. 63% said no, he's not a first line winger. Let's preview the game. Just when we thought we couldn't get any more excited, we have to. We'll take it easy tomorrow on Thursday as this podcast release, and I appreciate everybody who listens to our podcast on flamesunfiltered.com and the Hockey Podcast Network. These podcasts come out every Monday and Thursday mornings. Great hockey talk, great Calgary Flames talk. Thanks for everybody listening. Game preview, Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada, Game 2. It will be Round 4 of the Battle of Alberta. As it stands right now, Calgary sits 27-19-6 with 60 points. That's good for second in the Pacific. Edmonton 26-18-6, 58 points, third in the Pacific. Let's talk about previous meetings this year. They've all been within the last month. Calgary in Edmonton on December 27th gets a 5-1 win. January 11th, the game that started the feud back. Edmonton in Calgary. Calgary wins 4-3. Tonight, January 29th, Calgary with a 4-3 shootout win. That's 6 of 6 points for Calgary in 3 games. 1 point for Edmonton. We'll take that any day. The remaining two games will take place at the Saddle Dome on February 1st, this Saturday night. The game we're previewing right now, Edmonton comes to town for round number four, and we will wrap it up April 4th as Edmonton comes to Calgary for round number five. It was fun tonight. It was great to see Calgary get two more points tonight. You hate giving Edmonton one. But we can't get too greedy, right, Flames fans? It was quite a night. The hype. I don't know. Could you guys ever remember a game more hyped up than this one? I don't know if I do. I don't. It was more hype than a playoff series. Hopefully we get to have a playoff series this year. And what if it was against Edmonton? How crazy would that be? I was wrong, guys. In my prediction, I had it being a mild game. It was mediocre to high intensity. I loved every minute of it tonight. It was a very, very entertaining game. And you know what? Saturday night? I think Saturday night is going to be just a little bit wilder. I think the volume goes up. Edmonton's feeling the heat. They need some points. They need to get wins against Calgary. And Saturday night will be a classic.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter, at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page, at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter, at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey. Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.